Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Dennis Dollar, Chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer. Well, Dennis, I wanted to ask you about your career prior to serving on the NCUA board.
Well, Paul, I have had a career that is both a private sector career and a public sector career. Shortly after my graduation from the University of Mississippi in 1975, I ran for a seat in the Mississippi House of Representatives. Mississippi is my home state. I'm from Gulfport down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And I ran for and was elected to the state legislature in 1975. At the age of 22, I was one of the youngest members to ever serve in the state legislature in Mississippi. And so I began my public career in elective office. And I served 8 years there, in addition to my years in the legislature. At the same time, I was in the real estate business and affiliated with a local junior college. Upon my leaving the legislature after 8 years, I went into administration in the college that I was teaching at, and I served in that position until 1991. In late 1991, I was contacted by the Gulfport VA Federal Credit Union, a relatively small credit union there in the Mississippi Gulf Coast area, saying that they needed a CEO. They needed somebody with proven leadership skills, and they said that my leadership record at the junior college that I had been affiliated with, as well as my public career, having been a member of the legislature and the involvement in the community that brings, was exactly what they were looking for. Interestingly, I had never been in the financial services arena, but I felt like that good management abilities, good leadership training, willingness to put the principles that you have learned in your career in place works in any field. You can learn the details. It is those innate abilities to lead and to bring to the leadership table the attributes that can be successful that have proven themselves. And I'm certainly not the only one. There have been thousands and hundreds of thousands of leaders who have moved their leadership abilities from one field to another and been able to be very successful. So I went to the credit union in 91, knowing that it was a change in direction, but believing that those attributes would be successful there as they had been in other fields. Took a fairly struggling credit union that was having some problems, interestingly, problems with the very agency that I am today the chairman of, and we were able to turn that organization around, take it from being a relatively borderline credit union as far as its long-term financial stability to an award-winning credit union, winning local and national awards in every area from financial performance to the social responsibility programs that we had in place. And so after serving in that capacity for about 6 years, I was contacted by the senator from my home state, Senator Trent Lott, who happened to be serving as the Senate Majority Leader at the time, about the Republican seat on the NCUA board. It was coming up for appointment, and this was during the Clinton administration, and the traditional protocol is that the president will many times defer to the ranking senator from the other party for appointments to the other party's seat on these various boards and commissions. And he said, you've got a background in the political arena. You would function well in Washington. You have a background in the credit union arena. We need someone who understands and knows the issues. Would you be interested in coming up and serving on the NCUA board? And I did my homework and came to the conclusion that it would be a good career move for me and my family. And so told the senator, if you can make it happen, we'd love to come and serve. And so he was able to bring that about. And I was appointed in 1997 and was confirmed in October, took my seat in October, served as a board member from 97 until 2001 when President Bush was elected. And there is now a Republican in the White House. He looked on all of these boards to try to find either the Republican that was serving or someone from his side of the aisle to elevate to the chairmanship. He was, I'm very honored to say, impressed by what we had done as a member of the board, and elevated me to the chairmanship in September of 2001.
Well, give me a little perspective on having seen both sides of it. You've been an elected official and an appointed official. How does it feel to have seen both sides?
You know, as Judy Collins sang back in the 60s, I've seen life from both sides. Now, it is a really interesting perspective to have seen life from both sides. Now, I'm the only chairman of the NCUA board to ever have been subject to an NCUA examination. I'm the only chairman of the NCUA board ever to have paid an NCUA operating fee that supports the budget of the agency. And I think that does give a very unique perspective. It has enabled me at so many staff meetings with our outstanding leadership team there at NCUA when an issue might come up and they might say, when we pass this regulation, here's how it's going to work in America's credit unions, to be able to say, no, wait, you don't understand. In the real world, here's what's going to be the cause and effect of this action. And I think that bringing that to the table has not only enabled me to be a more effective regulator of credit unions, having understood the issues, but it's helped us as an agency to be a more effective agency. And I believe it has in some ways helped credit unions to have some higher confidence level that although they may not always agree, and they certainly do not, with every decision that we make from a regulatory or a supervisory perspective, that they know that the guy that's heading the agency at least has been where they are, has been in the trenches of the credit union movement. And I think that credibility does help you be a much more effective regulator.
Now, as the chairman of the NCUA, you're spearheading an initiative called Access Across America. Can you tell us about the program and what the goals are?
Well, Access Across America is a name that we have given to an umbrella of efforts that we are making at the National Credit Union Administration to try to encourage credit unions to extend their field of membership, that is, the people that they are legally or regulatorily authorized to serve, into some of the underserved areas of America. There are over 90 million Americans, Deborah, living today in census tracts that are designated by the U.S. Treasury Department as underserved or unbanked. Many of these are underserved or unbanked because the traditional for-profit financial institutions have fled these areas. Unfortunately, what they have left many of these communities to is the pawn shops and the check cashiers and the rent-to-own companies who at 400 or 500% return can make a profit there. But unfortunately, the impact upon many of those communities has been very unfortunate. And I don't believe anyone's ever going to achieve the American dream if their primary financial institution is a check cashier or a pawn shop. So we have tried to encourage credit unions, which by their nature and by their definition are not-for-profit financial cooperatives. As not-for-profits, they don't require as high of a return to be able to go into some of these areas and offer these financial services. So through Access Across America, it has been our goal to try to see credit unions move into every one of those census tracts to provide lower-cost financial services to every one of those 90-plus million Americans living in those underserved areas. The result is twofold. Not only is it consistent with the credit union heartbeat, and credit unions were formed for the purpose of providing access to credit to people of largely modest means that may not be able to gain credit from traditional financial institutions. They were formed as an alternative. And they still, to this day, although credit unions have grown and they offer a wide range of services to people from all economic levels and all walks of life, they still have a heartbeat for making sure that the little guy's not forgotten. So in many of these communities, they need access to some lower-cost financial institution. So it's a win as far as helping credit unions continue to meet their mission. But it's also a win for us as a regulator, because one of the concerns with credit unions has been the fact that they have had a very limited field of membership. They're restricted to the employees of a certain company or a certain association, some to a community, but a limited community and a very localized community. We as regulators realize the importance of diversification. We don't ever want to see a credit union go under because their sponsor group goes out of business or gets bought out by another company. We want to see these credit unions continue to survive. And as a regulator, that's important from a safety and soundness and financial stability perspective. So Access Across America is designed to be not only an opportunity to extend financial services to some people who really need it in these underserved communities, but also a source for some diversification opportunities for these credit unions to enable them to be able to diversify their risk. Yes, there's increased risk in some of these areas, but it's a manageable risk, and there's some good business in these areas. And with a good business plan, with a well-thought approach to going into these areas, we have found credit unions with tremendous, tremendous successes, and we see them making a tremendous difference in these communities. If I might, let me just share you a couple of statistics to show you how successful Access Across America has been just in the 2 years it's been in place. And that is that in 1999, the first year that credit unions were able to do it, before we began really emphasizing it, we had 7 credit unions that adopted underserved areas. About 235,000 Americans lived in those areas. Last year, 2001, only 2 years later, with our Access Across America initiative in place, with a streamlining of process to remove regulatory impediments and make it easier for credit unions to adopt these areas, we had 165 credit unions that adopted underserved areas. They actually adopted 282 underserved areas. Some adopted more than one. 16.1 million Americans who at the beginning of the year 2001 were not eligible to join a credit union were eligible by the end of the year. That's an increase from 235,000 just 2 years ago to 16.1 million. Obviously, this is done without any regulatory mandate to force credit unions to do it. And we did it through a regulatory empowerment approach. Without lowering standards, but streamlining process, we made that possible. This year, in 2002, we have already got 184 credit unions through the end of September. We've already exceeded last year's number. 303 underserved areas, also exceeding last year's number. 17 million Americans living in underserved areas that are eligible already this year. We've already exceeded in 9 months the successes of last year. We're very proud of the results, and we think that it's going to make a real impact in a number of those communities.
And that's a good stopping point. Come back with us after the break as we continue our talking about management with Dennis Dollar of the National Credit Union Administration. This is the Business of Government Hour.